Hey, that was a fun service last week. Thanks, everybody, for bringing your energy and celebrating the Lord. I really enjoyed that. And, lots of people have pointed out the inadequacy of the fact that many of us Christ followers will go to a sporting event and we'll scream our lungs out. But then a lot of times we show up at church and, to worship the God of the universe, and we sit on our hands in silence. There's just something that doesn't seem quite right about that, right? But this church, that's not so much the case here. Some of you folks have this figured out. This God is worthy of our excitement, and he's worthy of shouting an occasional amen and praise him. I like that. And there, of course, there's no better week to do that on than Easter week when we celebrate his resurrection. And he's alive just as much this week as he was last. So I want to encourage you to keep that up and worship out loud. Never feel bad about saying an amen during the sermon. I love that. Now, I'll tell you, I am not a real vocal guy. When I am sitting out there listening to sermons, I think I've said to you before, if I get real, real excited about something, you might hear me say, I'm just not really wired that way, I guess. But and maybe some of you feel that way too. You're not necessarily really wired for big vocal reactions in church, and that's just fine, of course. But for you more vocal people, please let it fly. Let it fly, all right? I love that we have a lively church, and I think that's the way it should be. So, cool. Also want to let you know I'm intending on keeping that little slogan I used at the end of the sermon last week, living life to the full, looking forward to the goal, all right? And I want to start doing this like we do this, God is good all the time God is good, all right? So I'm going to start adopting this so that we can remind ourselves on a somewhat regular basis that we do need to live life to the full while we're here and live it well. And then, as we've been saying, we also need to be looking forward to the goal, and that's, of course, getting to heaven, because the best is yet to come. So start both phrases start with L, living life to the full, and looking forward to the goal. So we should practice this right now. I will say, living life to the full, and you will say,
looking forward to the goal.
You didn't get it, Jasmine. I saw your lips not moving. All right. All right, but next week we will. I will test you on that again, and we'll work that into our little structure here at Calvary. So, I'm discovering on these big services like Christmas and Easter, I get so jazzed for those services and celebrating those things with you, and I find that the week after I have this emotional release, and I kind of feel like I should just play hooky and relax or something, and. And so when I sat down to write the sermon this week, I just wasn't feeling writing a sermon that was highly academic, and I wasn't feeling getting back into the Sermon on the Mount yet, our study on Matthew. So I started praying for inspiration, and then I was goofing around on the internet, kind of looking for inspiration, and let me tell you what I got to, where I ended up. Remember in the first few months of my time here as your pastor, we looked at this little video clip of Bill Hybels, who's the pastor of Willow Creek Church in the Chicago area, and he talked to us in that video clip about making sure that we're having our rocking chair moments with God. He encouraged us in that video to find something that works for you in your lives in order to be sure that you're getting in Bible reading and prayer regularly, hopefully every day. So in the example he used, you'll remember he was talking about a friend who had that special rocking chair, and he put that in front of the big window and look at the trees and whatever else was out there as he spent his time with God in the mornings. I know that video clip made an impact on a lot of you, and that's awesome. It was a great visual of something that's very important in the life of a Christ follower, spending regular time with God. So I don't know, that video clip, I guess, passed through my mind this week, and I ended up back with Bill Hybels this week. I stumbled on another little video. He did this video actually to preview a book that he's written recently called The Power of a Whisper. I have not read the book, but just in this short 7-minute video, I found the inspiration I was looking for this morning. So I'll tell you what the morning looks like here. I am actually going to start by fleshing out some of the things that he mentions in this short video. We're going to start with that, with my fleshing out of this of these ideas. And after that, then, I will show you the video clip and then have a few final comments after that. So this morning's sermon title is A Whisper-Led Adventure. A Whisper-Led Adventure. The story I've always enjoyed from the Old Testament is the calling of Samuel. And I'm guessing that a lot of you feel the same way about that story. When Samuel was born, his mother fulfilled a vow that she had made to God and gave her boy to the service of the Lord. So as soon as he was weaned, she brought him to the tabernacle and basically gave him to Eli, the high priest. That doesn't say in there how Eli felt about having to raise a child like this, but that's what happened. And so he's living at the tabernacle. Remember when we read in Exodus the instructions on the tabernacle and we drew those things out on the whiteboard? So this boy, Samuel, grows up living in that holy ground. When Samuel was a young boy, so I'm thinking elementary school age, maybe junior high age, God whispered to him. Let me read you the story from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God in the tabernacle had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me. My son, I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that it was the Lord calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." God then revealed some things to young Samuel, and it was just the first of many times where this would happen. Samuel would grow to become a very important prophet in the land of Israel. He became their judge, and he actually would end up dedicating the first two kings of Israel, King Saul, King David. And all of this started with a whisper from God. Have you ever felt that God has spoken to you? I wonder what that looked like in your life. Maybe it was something, maybe you were reading the Word, or you were listening to a sermon preached, and there was some special presence or something just stuck out in an amazing way, and you kind of felt something. Maybe he's used someone else to say something to you. So this would be actually a human being who said something to you, and then afterwards you're like, "Man, that had to have been from God." I wonder if that's happened to you. Has the Holy Spirit ever come to you while you're in prayer and communicated love and encouragement to you? Maybe that's happened. And I wonder if any of you have ever heard an audible voice like Samuel apparently did in this chapter. It's kind of interesting that Eli, I can't imagine Eli was sleeping much or very far away from Samuel, but it doesn't sound like he heard the voice at all. But Samuel sure reacted like he was hearing an audible voice. So that's interesting. I've never heard God's audible voice, but I've told you before that I have had some moments where I truly believe God put something specific in my mind, a specific thought. And again, my default setting on these kinds of things is to be somewhat skeptical. I want to be very careful not to ascribe to God something that is not from God. But I have to tell you, I went away from those few, the handful of experiences where I truly believe that, man, that was not me, I don't think, that put that thought in my head. And in a couple of those scenarios, events happened in the days after that that related exactly to those thoughts and confirmed them to me. So I believe that God has spoken to me and that I've experienced that. But that was not an audible voice. I think this term, whisper, is a good word to use to describe my experience of God speaking to me. Again, not an audible whisper, but it kind of felt like a whisper. I wonder if you've experienced that kind of thing. I think that that image of whisper also fits some of these other things that we were just describing of how God sometimes speaks to us. So again, you're listening to a sermon and something hits you, something resonates within you and sticks out in a new way, and you wonder if it isn't God, God's Spirit impressing that thing upon you, and it kind of feels like a whisper to your soul. The whisper of God. We've talked about these things before. How do we hear God? And I know I've asked you before, and I will again, we'll do it today. How do you expect to hear God if you are not communicating with him and if you're not listening for his voice? We need, again, to prioritize these things in our lives. We need to make sure we're having those rocking chair moments in our lives where we're meeting with the Lord regularly. If you want to hear God speak to you, then you need to be speaking to him, and you need to also be doing some intentional listening. Whether that would be him speaking to you through your Bible reading or through another person or through a special voice in your head or maybe even out loud, I don't know. But I know that God wants a relationship with us, and you need to spend time with him if you want to hear the whisper of God in your life. Let's say you do get a whisper or an impression comes into your mind. Maybe it's a particular leading in your life. You think maybe God's leading you in some direction. How can you confirm that whisper you heard or felt was actually from him? Is there a way to know for sure that what you're feeling led in is actually a communication from God? It's good to ask this question because it's so easy for us human beings to be led astray. Remember, the Bible describes to us a spiritual battle going on all around us. There are spiritual beings who would love to lead us astray if we're not careful. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. Paul says, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if Satan's servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. So we need to be careful. Also, 1 John 1 says, Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay, so a whisper comes into your mind and you're wondering, ooh, was that God? Is there a way to know for sure? Well, the scripture says test it. Test it. Is it really from God? That's a good thing to do. How do we test it? I'm going to give you some suggestions now on how to test whispers. All right? And the first is, first and foremost, you have to test these things against the main communication from God to us, and that is the Bible. Is the word you have received consistent with Scripture? God is not going to ask you to sin. Let's just get that out of the way. The word received from God should be consistent with his character as revealed in the Bible, and I would say specifically as revealed in the man Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do, right? So ask yourself, is this thing I have experienced and that I'm thinking about and wondering about, is it consistent with the biblical call to love my neighbor as myself? Is this thing going to bring honor to Jesus in some way, or at least not bring dishonor to him? So is the word you have received biblical? And the Bible is given to us. This is one of the purposes of the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. So if you're asking yourself if the thought that came into your head is from God, start by testing it against the Bible. I want to throw a sub-point in here on this call to test the whispers we hear against Scripture. I don't actually have a slide on this one, but the Bible also tells us that if we want to get good at testing these whispers, we need to push ourselves to mature in our faith. We need to push ourselves to mature in our faith. Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So part of being transformed is letting the Holy Spirit get a hold of you and make you his and mature you. And part of this is by learning the Bible better. S. Michael Houdman writes, "Employees at a bank are trained to recognize counterfeit bills by studying genuine money so closely that it becomes easy to spot a fake. We should become so familiar with God's word that when someone speaks error to us, it is clear that it is not God." So the more you allow God to transform you, the better you know your Bible, the better you know God, the easier it is going to be for you to test whether something that you hear is from God or not. If we want to get good at testing whispers, we need to seek maturity in our faith. Okay, well, what if you're a newer Christian and you haven't had time to mature in your faith, but you have a whisper going on in your life right now and you want to know, is this from God or not? Well, this next point is for you. If you want to know if a whisper you have heard was from God or not, use the wisdom of godly people that you know and trust. Bounce this thing off someone who is mature who you trust and someone who does know the Bible well. And actually, this, of course, is something that's good for all of us to do when we are wondering about a whisper from God, whether or not we're a mature Christian. Run the thought by a person you know. Again, it should be someone you trust, someone you know who is in tune with God. See what the reaction is to it. Now, that doesn't mean that if they're against it, you know, you don't prioritize necessarily the human reaction over what God is actually telling you to do, right? Our first obedience is always to God. But if this wise, godly person is raising some caution flags to you about this thing you're telling them about, then maybe you should slow down, right? And maybe I need to rethink this and check this thing out more. And hey, you know, if going to one person is good, how about running it by a few godly people? It's such a pleasure to work with our church board because, you know, when challenging situations arise, what a great deal to be to sit around a table with full of people who have dedicated their lives to Christ and who seek him in their hearts and their minds, who have some maturity in the faith, and we pray together about these things and we share our ideas. Doesn't mean that we do things always perfectly, but I know that together we are sticking closer to what God would have for us than if any of us were trying to handle these challenging situations as an individual. And this is how the church works, right? This is how God set it up. We come together and use all of our gifts together to pursue great and godly things as a group. So if you want to know if what you think you have heard from God truly is from God, seek the counsel of godly people who you know and trust. Three other quick suggestions on this whisper testing idea. The first is continue praying about this word you've received. Continue to check in with God on this thing if you're having any doubt or question. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom," okay, so you're seeking wisdom on this subject, right? "You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." And in your prayer, you could echo the words of King David from Psalm 143:8, "Show me the way I should go, Lord, for to you I entrust my life." So let's bring these things before God again as we test them. "Did I hear you right, Lord? Please correct me if I am wrong. Show me the way to go." So let's continue to be in prayer. Next one is to check your peace level. We've been using this for a number of different things. Check your peace level. I think it applies here as well. if you're doing a good job of staying in God's presence in your life and you're having those rocking chair moments, meeting with him regularly in Bible study and prayer, letting his spirit work in you, I think the odds are very strong that you are going to feel a strong measure of peace if God speaks something to you. You're gonna feel peace over that, I would think. Ask yourself, is my conscience bothering me at all here, or am I feeling peace about this whisper I've heard? John 16, verse 13, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is in you if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, so he's going to guide you into all truth. Check your peace levels. Final testing method. Watch for open and shut doors. I think this links in with that prayer test. You know, I've said to God before, okay, Lord, I've heard this thing from you. I'm pretty sure it was from you. I've been testing it. I'm not getting any red flags on it, so I am moving forward with this thing. If I am not right about this, please shut the door and push me back onto the right path. Keep me on the path you have for me. Now, that also does not mean that if you have one obstacle that comes in your way, that you quickly abandon what God was telling you to do. Satan will throw obstacles in our path too, right? But if you're continually getting closed doors on an issue, again, maybe you misheard something. And maybe you need to recheck it by kind of going back through these other steps we've just mentioned. So all of this is in response to the question, how can I know if a whisper I have heard is truly from God? Test the spirits, the Bible says, and do this by comparing the whisper you heard to the Word of God. Is it consistent with the Bible? Get the opinion of wise, godly people who you know and trust. Continue to pray about it. Check your peace level, and then watch for open and shut doors. Young Samuel heard the whisper of God one night as he laid on his bed in the tabernacle of the Lord. We've discussed today how you might be able to hear the whisper of God in your life and how you might be able to test whether or not that whisper actually was from God. Well, what's the next step then? You've heard this whisper. You've used the suggested methods to test it. What's the next step after that? Well, obviously, you had better be prepared as a next step to obey. And to follow through on what God has just told you. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So God speaks to his people and you will demonstrate that you are his if you obey, if you follow him. If you become convicted while reading Scripture that something in your life needs to change, whether it's a particular behavior or thought pattern in your life, you need to make an effort to do that. You need to make an effort to obey. If God's leading you in a new direction in life and you've received confirmation about it, then you should obey and make that change. Oh, maybe God might ask you to do something that's out of your comfort zone. Well, you know, it wouldn't be the first time in history he's done that to somebody. How about just one of many potential examples? Joshua leading the Israelites into the promised land to face off against the people who are already living there, who appeared to be much more mighty than they. And most of the Israelites felt that they were marching straight to their death. But God told them in that instance, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. If God's asked you to do it, he's going to go with you, even if it's difficult. So we should obey. Have you confirmed that God is asking you to do something new in your life, but you're still having a bit of a hard time believing that he actually meant for you to be doing that thing? Well, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So our response to the whispers of God is to trust and to obey. Listen to the whisper of God in your life. Seek after these whispers. Make time for talking with God. And when you hear the whisper, it's good practice to confirm it. And when you've confirmed it, obey it. Okay, let's get to this book preview from Bill Hybels for his book called The Power of a Whisper. This 7-minute video is what inspired these thoughts this morning. And we've already been praying for our video equipment, so it's going to work today. And let's turn that on.
The very first acknowledgement in this book goes to my second grade teacher, whose name was Miss Van Solen. And she's the one who taught a Bible story when I was in second grade about Samuel, the young boy who heard voices in the middle of the night. And he would get out of bed and go to Eli and say, "So what do you want?" And Eli would say, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And this happened 3 times. And finally, Eli said to Samuel, "Next time you hear a voice, why don't you say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel goes back to bed. He hears a voice and he says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And God actually speaks to this young boy, and he gives him a message that he's supposed to tell Eli the next day. And Samuel, in fact, tells Eli the whole message the next day. So my second grade teacher is reading the story to the class. The recess bell rings, and everybody runs out. And I'm transfixed in my chair. And I was always the first kid out to recess, organizing the athletics, and so I was glued to the chair because of the nature of that story of God speaking to somebody. Very timidly, I walked to the front of the class and I said, "Miss Van Solen, does God still speak today?" And she was caught a little off guard and she said, "What?" And I said, "In the story, God spoke to a young boy. Do you think that God still speaks to young boys today?" And she said, "Well, why do you ask?" And I said, "Because I think it'd be about the coolest thing in the world if God were to still speak, you know, to people and to young boys today." And she said, "Well, I absolutely think he does." And she reached in the top drawer of her desk and she gave me a poem. And she said, "Maybe you would enjoy this poem. Take it with you when you go home tonight." And I did. Later on that night, before I went to bed, I read the poem and I liked it so much that I read it several times and then committed it to memory. Next day I go to school and I'm about ready to go out for recess and my teacher stops me and she said, "Did you read that poem?" And I said, "In fact, I did. I actually memorized it." And I thought she was going to faint. And she said, "If you memorized it, why don't you say it to me?" I said, "Okay, I can say it. Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word, like him to answer to thy call and to obey thee first of all." I thought she was going to pass out. I mean, the look on her face, a second grader, you know, not just reading a poem, but memorizing one that she had given to me. She put her hands on my shoulders and she said, "Bill Hybels, if you listen for the voice of God and obey it, I think God's going to have an anointed plan and he's going to put power on your life." And I remember thinking, well, whatever. But I ran out to recess and that was that. But I've probably repeated that poem in my head tens of thousands of times. Still in there right now. You could poke me in the middle of the night, I could say that poem. So a few weeks ago when I was just finishing the book, The Power of a Whisper, someone walked into my office and they had kind of a promotional copy of it. Not the real thing, but just a promotional copy of it. And I looked at it for the first time and I thought, wow, this all goes back to my second grade teacher. Just then my assistant, Jean, came into my office with an email and she said, "You better sit down, Bill. I got bad news." And I sat down and she said, "Your second grade teacher just died." So I was holding the book, The Power of the Whisper, Power of a Whisper, and the email about Miss Van Solen's death. And I thought, too strange, really, gotta be kidding me. And I was filled with appointments that day and the next day, and I got a whisper from God that the right thing to do would be to fly to the city where her funeral service was being held and to attend her funeral. So I thought about it and I prayed about it. I said, this is the right thing to do. So I canceled all my appointments. I chartered an aircraft and flew to this little city. And, stood by her casket and remembered what a second grade teacher did to just a young guy. You know, 15 minutes after class, and she gives me a poem, and she tells me that God still speaks, and that maybe my life could be anointed if I would listen for whispers. So that day, standing by her casket, I thought, yeah, that little poem and that concept of whispers changed the whole course of my life. And I have a real debt to pay to that woman. I did so, you know, standing there at her casket. But driving away from that funeral, kind of rededicated myself to the concept that I want to live with one ear open to heaven every day. And when I hear God speak, I want to figure out if it's really God and if it's really what he would want me to do. And if it is, I want to be able to pay the price. I want to, you know, follow through with it, regardless of the cost. And I want the rest of my life to be about that adventure, just a whisper-led, God-guided adventure. And I don't know where it's going to go, but, you know, I want to be on that kind of path.
So there's a side story in there too, isn't there? How Miss Van Solen, Pastor Heibel's second grade teacher, impacted his life. I mentioned a few sermons ago that the idea of writing or calling someone in your life who has been very influential in your spiritual growth and telling them thank you for how they impacted you. Someone who was your Miss Van Solen. And you know, I think I'm going to do that this week. Let's not wait until the funeral to say thanks to these people, how they helped us find God. And the other part of that side story is, of course, the thought that when we have a chance to bring a word about God to a young person or even to an old person, we need to take it. I think it's completely possible that Miss Van Solen had no idea how impactful that moment was in the life of Bill Hybels, but she took the chance to speak into his life, and it made a huge impact, and that's awesome. So we need to be ready and seize those moments when they come to us, and maybe we can be Miss Van Solen for somebody else. I want to close today's sermon by just repeating some of the words you just heard Pastor Hybels say in this video. It'll be a chance for you to hear them again and kind of soak them in, and they'll form a good conclusion for us. The first is a repeat of what Miss Van Solen said to Bill as the other kids ran out to recess on that day he described. She told him, if you listen to God's whisper and obey it, he's going to have an anointed plan for you and put power in your life. And those words certainly were prophetic in the life of Bill Hybels, weren't they? He's such an influential pastor in our country now, so praise the Lord for that. But I want to tell you that Miss Van Solen's words are not just for Bill Hybels and for Samuel the prophet. They are for everybody here. These words are true for all of us. God has a plan that he wants to enact in all of our lives, an anointed plan, and he's just waiting for us to ask him what it is. And to spend time with him so that we can hear it. If we seek him, he's going to lead us on that anointed path. And he'll put his power behind it. I believe this. I believe this is true for all who would seek to hear God's whispers. Then finally, let's listen again to Pastor Heibel's words there from the very end of that video. And may we all echo these thoughts in our own hearts. He said, I want to live with one ear open to heaven every day. And when I hear God speak, I want to figure out if it's really him. And if it is, I want to be able to pay the price. I want to follow through with it regardless of the cost. I want the rest of my life to be about that adventure, a whisper-led, God-guided adventure. I want to be on that kind of path. Amen to that, right? A whisper-led adventure. And will you bow with me in prayer now as I pray on behalf of all of us these final words? Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word, like him to answer to thy call and to obey thee first of all. Amen.